Today is Friday, March 8th. We'll tell you about the key points President Biden made during his State of the Union address last night, heated moments in the House chamber, and the official response from Republicans. And where things stand now with the latest spending bill, as we're just hours away from a partial government shutdown. Also, a new plan to put U.S. troops right next to Gaza to deliver aid. Plus, your last chance to get free COVID tests from the government. A reminder about daylight saving time. And roll out the red carpet, what to know ahead of the Oscars this weekend. Those stories and more in today's episode. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. President Biden used his State of the Union to push Congress to do more now and to push American voters to give him another term in November. He spoke about his many decades in public office, making the case that with time comes wisdom. Biden also directly compared himself with former President Trump, which is pretty rare for a State of the Union. Biden did not mention Trump by name, but referred to my predecessor 13 times during the speech, accusing Trump of abandoning American allies, not acting on gun violence, and not caring enough about the pandemic. Biden did try to connect with other Republicans, somewhat. At one point, he held up a pin that Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene had been handing out that included the name of a woman in Georgia who was killed by a Venezuelan migrant. He expressed condolences to the woman's family and said the bill he had championed would have kept dangerous people from crossing the border if the GOP had not blocked it. Though that part of his speech sparked a lot of backlash from some heckling Republicans in the chamber. Another interruption came from an invited guest. At one point during the speech, the father of a Marine killed in Afghanistan yelled from the upper area of the House chamber. He did end up being arrested for disrupting Congress. After Biden's address, Republican Senator Katie Britt of Alabama gave the GOP response. She criticized Biden over the economy, pointing specifically to inflation, child care costs, and the hurdles to buying a home. As she put it, quote, "The American dream has turned into a nightmare." Just like Biden, Britt also spoke for a while about immigration. She blamed Biden for the current situation at the border, saying he inherited the most secure border of all time and turned it into a disgrace. And as expected, Britt spoke about Biden's age. She pointed out that he's been in office longer than she's been alive and said, quote, "The free world deserves better than a dithering and diminished leader." Former President Trump, who is 4 years younger than Biden, also took jabs at Biden's age on his social media platform, Truth Social. He defended himself, too, saying the border bill he encouraged Republicans to vote against was a disaster that didn't go far enough. Trump also disputed the idea that he didn't care about the pandemic, pointing out that the vaccine was created while he was in office. Of course, these are just a few of the many issues that were brought up by both sides. President Biden is taking another step in hopes of easing a hunger crisis in the Middle East. He told the U.S. military to establish a temporary pier on the Gaza coast. That way, ships can carry food, water, medicine, and other supplies from Cyprus to Palestinians who need it in Gaza. U.S. officials say the pier will have the capacity equivalent to hundreds of truckloads of extra assistance each day. The operation will not require U.S. troops on the ground in Gaza, but they will have to be just offshore, along with other American allies, the U.N., and humanitarian partners. It's been described as a daunting undertaking. Officials say it will take weeks to build the facility and deliver the aid. And still, the White House admits this won't totally solve the crisis. Neither will airdropping in aid, which the U.S. started doing last week. In the president's State of the Union, he also called on Israel to let more aid into the Gaza Strip through the typical trade routes on land, which would be the most efficient. The U.S. Senate is expected to vote soon on a major spending package to avoid a government shutdown that would otherwise be on track to go into effect at midnight. The House already overwhelmingly approved it earlier this week, and President Biden is expected to sign it. It provides funding for the Departments of Justice, Energy, Veterans Affairs, and several other agencies and federal programs through September. But the spending is pretty much flat as compared to the previous year. No steep cuts, like many Republicans wanted, and no big increases either. It is expected to pass in the Senate today, despite some opposition. But if it doesn't, a partial government shutdown would go into effect tonight, and a full shutdown could happen in just a couple of weeks. Lawmakers are already negotiating a second package to fund other agencies, including the Defense Department, before the next deadline on March 22nd. Alabama fertility clinics are once again offering IVF. They say they're able to get back to business since Governor Kay Ivey signed a bill to protect patients and clinics from legal liability. Remember, this comes just 3 weeks after the state Supreme Court ruled that frozen embryos are children and that clinics can be held liable for wrongful death if something were to happen to them. Well, the new law says no to that second part. But it doesn't address the question of whether or not frozen embryos really are children. So at least one clinic did say the new law doesn't go far enough, so it will continue to pause treatment. It's asking for more legal clarification. Today is the last day to order free at-home COVID-19 tests. If you have not placed an order in the last 6 months, you can place two orders now for a total of 8 tests. Then by tomorrow, the government program will be suspended. The Department of Health and Human Services will keep distributing millions of tests a week to long-term care facilities, food banks, health centers, and schools. It's just the direct-to-home deliveries through the U.S. Postal Service that are ending. To place an order now, just go to covidtests.gov. By the way, if you receive at-home tests and notice an expired date on the packaging, don't worry. The FDA has extended those dates, and you can double-check them online. Most tests are now good through the end of this year. We have much more news for you still coming up. But first, a quick word from our sponsor, Lumi. Lumi is the world's best whole-body deodorant. It is now my personal favorite deodorant, but if you want more proof, Lumi has it. It's clinically proven to control odor-causing bacteria everywhere for 72 hours. I love that it's aluminum-free and paraben-free, goes on easy and clear, and most importantly, has worked to keep me smelling fresh and clean. You can choose from a variety of fresh, bright scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, or toasted coconut. I even love their body wash as well as their on-the-go deodorant wipes that are great for anywhere on your body, from pits to feet and beyond. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers, too. It comes with a solid-stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like that mini body wash and deodorant wipes I mentioned, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code NEWSWORTHY at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use that code NEWSWORTHY. Okay, now back to the news. Here's your yearly reminder. Daylight saving time is coming for most Americans this weekend. Clocks will jump forward by 1 hour early Sunday morning. And yes, that means you might lose an hour of sleep. Then the days will start to feel longer since the sun will be setting later in the evening. Of course, daylight saving time is always controversial. Members of certain health groups favor standard time because they say it's more aligned with our natural body clocks. But some lawmakers have pushed to make daylight saving time permanent. They say longer daylight hours encourage outdoor activities and boost the economy. Plus, they say it can improve public safety by reducing traffic accidents and crime rates. Either way, it doesn't seem like anything is changing for the entire country anytime soon. So Americans will have to keep changing their clocks and adjusting twice a year, everywhere except Hawaii and Arizona. Federal investigators are now looking into even more recent incidents involving Boeing airplanes. First, United Airlines pilots who were flying a 737 MAX say part of the flight patrols became jammed as they landed in Newark, New Jersey last month. The plane was still able to make it to the gate and no one was hurt. Boeing says it has since fixed the problem by replacing 3 parts on the plane, and now it's back in service. Still, the investigation is ongoing. Separately, another Boeing jet had a major issue just yesterday. A United Airlines flight that had just taken off from San Francisco International Airport ended up losing one of its tires. It fell from the sky and damaged several vehicles below in an employee parking lot. But thankfully, no one was hurt in that incident either. The FAA says it's looking into it. Of course, all of this comes as Boeing is already facing scrutiny over how it manages safety, since part of another MAX jet came apart mid-air just earlier this year. Boeing is still working on a plan to address its quality control issues, and that's due soon. TikTok has started asking its users to call Congress. A push notification was sent out warning about a bill that's moving quickly through the U.S. House. It would give TikTok's Chinese parent company, ByteDance, 6 months to divest from the app or face a U.S. ban. A House committee unanimously approved the measure yesterday. The full House is set for a vote next week, and the White House supports it. But TikTok warned users about the possible ban this week, saying it would, quote, damage millions of businesses, destroy the livelihoods of countless creators across the country, and deny artists an audience. The alert gave users a way to find their representative and call their office. Some members of Congress have been trying to ban TikTok for years, worried about national security risks, particularly because of how the company collects user data. But if passed, the new bill would face legal challenges. Expect to see it come up in court. Hollywood is rolling out the red carpet for the 96th Academy Awards this weekend. This year's Oscars are happening on Sunday in Los Angeles, and Jimmy Kimmel is making a comeback as host. Oppenheimer leads the Oscar nominations with 13 total, and pundits and bettors have it pegged to win at least 8, including Best Picture, putting it up there among some of the biggest Oscar winners in history. Many of them also expected to win for Best Director and Best Actor, among others. Oppenheimer is not involved in what's considered the most unpredictable major category of the night, though: Best Actress. It's considered a close race between Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon and Emma Stone for Poor Things. If you want to catch up before the big show this weekend, many of the big nominees are available to stream now. The Oscars will be broadcast live on ABC starting at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. That's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Feel Good Friday, when we bring you one extra feel-good or positive news story before the weekend. But first, let's talk about our sponsor, Skims. Maybe you've already heard of Skims, but do you know about their Fits Everybody collection? It might just be their best-kept secret. I've tried several pieces from this collection now, and I have to tell you, I'm a convert. The feeling is like no other pieces I've worn before. It is so stretchy, so soft, it kind of just melts onto your body and you forget that you're wearing it. I love it, and I think everyone needs to experience this level of comfort from their clothes. It's even noticeable the second you take the Fits Everybody products right out of the bag. The material is truly what stood out to me the most when I received it. And this is true across the collection, from all different types of intimates to my bodysuit that I love to wear with jeans and more. The Fits Everybody collection is available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. You can shop now at skims.com. Plus, get free shipping on orders over $75. After you place your order, be sure to let them know that I sent you. Just select podcast in the survey and be sure to select my show, The Newsworthy, in the drop-down menu that follows. Now back to Feel Good Friday. And today we are talking about what's being called March Meowness. A public library in Massachusetts has a deal where anyone who's lost or damaged a book or any other borrowed item can get their library cards reactivated without having to pay. They just have to bring in a photo or drawing of a cat. In just the first few days, the program at Worcester Public Library generated hundreds of thousands of returns and a lot of cat photos on the library's Facebook page. Photos and drawings are also pinned on the growing cat wall in the main library building. Like many public libraries in the U.S., Worcester is trying to encourage people to return, since they've been pretty empty since the pandemic when many were used as vaccine sites. But now they're back to being vibrant community spaces, offering not only books, but also crafts, wellness courses, seminars, and more. All right, we will be back tomorrow with our special edition Saturday episode. We have both Republican and Democratic political strategists giving their smart takes and analysis on the presidential race now that Super Tuesday's results are in. Then join us again on Monday for your next news roundup. For now, thank you so much for listening and have a great weekend.